You're in the middle of Parak Hey Pasuk Yud, just to finish off a couple of things. There's some Ramazim here in the Pasuk, which we didn't go into.
Which Pasuk are we in exactly?
The Parak Hey Pasuk Yud.
Yeah.
We talked about the parallels between Yosef being Mesapak. Yosef held himself back, he didn't reveal himself to his brothers.
Yeah.
And even though that was a tzar, to hold himself back would lead to ultimate simcha. So Haman also, the pasuk says Vayisapak, and we would think that that's a tzar, and it led to simcha. And that's a parallel. And the pasuk it says Vayisapak Haman Vayavel Beisai Vayishlach Vayavayaskal Ayavav Vezerish Ishtai Ayavav Vezerish Ishtai. The Rekeach says on Ayavav, Mirayushayim, there's a mitzvah to be derish things, lignai, anything that you could denigrate them, anything you could see in a pasuk to knock them down, you darshan, you never dan them l'kavschus, you never give them the benefit of the doubt. And the Rekeach says, Ayavav, well, who's Ayavav? Isn't Zeresh Ishtai his beloved?
He hated his wife.
Ayavav means the other woman that he loves. Well, it doesn't name them. No, Esther was not one of them. She wasn't there. Ayavav is Zeresh Ishtai. It means his wife and the women that he loved. Ayavav. Ayavav. All his paramours. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayisapalim Haman is Kveit Ashrei. So Haman starts relating. Saper, he starts relating stories. It's quite ashrei, all the honor that he gets because of his wealth. He's a wealthy man, so he gets a lot of honor. Rav Banav. Rav Banav means he had many children. The king raised him up. I mean, the king made him great. First of all, the king made him great. And not only did he make him great, but he made him greater than the royal nobility and the servants of the king. So he made him great, and then he made him greater. Great and then greater. Yeah. The Targum adds, He related the honor of his wealth, his fabulous wealth, and he hangs out with the dukes, his mamas, you know, up there, and wherever he goes, there's runners, they run in front of him, many, many runners, a multitude of runners, they run in front of him, and these runners were comprised of the ranks of the runners were comprised of his children. He had 208 children that used to run in front of him. Like, he had his own army. He had his own Republican Guard of his kids. Wherever he went, there were 208 little Hamans running around there. And besides the 200, he had another 10 that they were like governors.
So those 208, they were never killed?
Everyone was killed.
Huh?
Everyone
was
killed.
People that were killed.
We'll see when we get to the killing part. That's the good part. You know, when Haman gets a beaten. But yeah.
It says all of them?
We'll see. There's different views. Right, there's different views on Chazal.
Okay.
I mean, there are survivors of Haman because the Gemara says that the grandchildren of Haman learned Torah in Bnei Brak. So there are some survivors. They're Megayer. They're Megayer. So besides the 208, and besides the runners, and besides the 10 who are governors, he also had Shimshi. Shimshi makes an appearance soon. He's the sefer of the melech, he's the scribe, which is, yeah, he's mamish there, you know.
Any significance to how old his kids are, or no?
I don't know. That's the target.
The king scribe always came with him?
Shimshi, yeah, well, Shimshi was in a position of power. We'll see, he starts fiddling around with the books. He keeps the records. You know, the one in charge of the records? He has power.
How many wives did Haman have?
I don't know. It's a Zeresh Ishtai.
So what was the point of this pasuk?
Yes, so the Vilna Gaon has a kasha. Look, what's the point of this pasuk? Why is he telling over all these things? And why do we have to know about it?
Right.
Well, he has delusions of grandeur. He has to hear himself talk. Why is he doing this? The Vilna Gaon says that Haman was in mortal peril. He talks about a syndrome. We know that the emotions affect the person's well-being. There's a syndrome that a person experiences tremendous simcha. I mean, he's an expansive mood, and he was lifted up. And then suddenly, he's exposed to great tsar. So he experiences emotional swings. Emotional swings are very detrimental to one's health, and they can bring a person to lose his life. That's what Vilna Gaon says. A person could possibly die from being brought up. You know, all of a sudden, a guy finds out that, you know, he something made him very happy. I don't know, he won a lot of money. He wanted to pick four lottery. And he's just riding that, and then someone tells him that his daughter just jumped off a building. You know, Haman's daughter. Yeah. Just the emotional swings could kill a person. And Haman just went through this.
Maybe the swing will kill, or
so
what?
So he just wanted to make himself
emotional.
How you deal
no,
with
the
it.
Swing yeah. itself will kill.
Makes sense.
I mean, it's Yadua that depression kills.
No, I was asking whether it was like the shock or what you do.
The
how
shock.
You deal with
the
it.
Shock. No, the shock.
Not the depression go into what you do during that depression because you went from such a high to such a low.
No, it doesn't. There are people that will kill themselves because of it.
It's not.
That's related. It's
so
related
it's
to
the
this.
Shock from.
It's because someone that goes through that doesn't want to live anymore.
But Haman didn't do
yeah,
that, so why are we bringing it down?
The reason why they don't want to live anymore is because they're not alive
you're
anymore. They feel dead.
So you're saying the shock of
like
going
like
it's
true.
The shock of feeling dead could kill a person.
No, well, it's
without them doing
anything. Yeah, well,
but
people. If someone can. It's been
so
medically proven that someone could get a virus from depression.
Afterwards, what did he do? He had to go
drugs.
Look at all his treasures and all that stuff.
Well,
what?
Well, the immune system
happy.
Is physical, the depression is spiritual.
Happen.
You see that there's a connection between the emotions and between the it's called a physiological reaction between the psychological aspect of the person and the biological aspect. It's called physiological. So this is, you know, so Haman had just been raised up. You couldn't get any higher than that. He's the ultimate power, and he has the queen in his back pocket also. That was the only thing that was missing. He had Achashverosh. The queen was the only one that was any competition for Haman. He's never going to be comfortable. He's got her also.
With that point, he just became depressed?
Not depressed. It's
not
much
depressed,
worse than depression.
He became angry or whatever it was.
Well,
I thought it was the fact that he saw
more. If you permit me to finish, yes. If you permit me to finish, then I will say just what you said.
Okay.
So he was at the pinnacle. You can't, you know, because Achashverosh was the king of the whole world, according to some versions of Chazal. He was the king of the whole world. Haman was the power behind the throne. Haman had the queen. He had the king. He had everything. He walks out, and it was all taken away from him. Mordecai didn't budge. He didn't move. And that brought him to depths of tsar that he had never before undergone, so he thought he was going to die. He should have done the Jewish people a favor and just died right here. But he said, no, he's not dying. Should have just died. So what's the antidote? The Vilna Gaon says the antidote is that you have to talk about things to take your mind off your pain. So what takes his mind off his pain?
Okay.
He's got a Lexus, he's got an Infiniti, he's got a caddy in the garage. He's got his own golf course, a swimming pool. He owns a lagoon. He's got a bay in his backyard. He's got a boat. He's got a yacht. He's got a fleet of yachts. He's got more submarines than the Canadian Navy. Look at all these kids. They're all running around, you know. So the Vilna Gaon says that's why he did it, because he was about to die, and he saved his life.
When he says die, he just means that he's angry.
Die? No, he's going to die. He's going to die.
So it was to get his mind off the pain, or just
yes, to get his mind off the pain, so he would live.
No, it didn't. Yeah, last person said Haman restrained himself. And went home. Yeah. It doesn't sound like the shock kills you.
He says you have to
the shock's gonna kill you. You can't restrain yourself and then get your mind off. That just doesn't.
I don't know how to respond to that. I don't see where you see that. I don't know what you see in the word Vayisapak. Vayisapak is an expression of immense pain. He kept inside until he got to his house, and he was going to die. And he made it to his house. He made it to the emergency ward. He felt he was about to have a heart attack. He made it home, and he had to find an audience. I mean, according to the Golden Gang, that he held it in until then, and then he was able to get it out of his system. Okay, everybody say. I mean, the Ashok says on this pasuk, there's three things that generally bring a person to a state of happiness. One is trappings of wealth, Aisher. Another is family, children. These things bring happiness. Wealth, children, this is the Alshik, Rav Moshe Alshik. And then covet, greatness. Those are three things.
That's perfect. That's
perfect. And Haman, well, he had all three. And he said he had all three. He's the richest man. He's the most. He has children. I mean, obviously, the amount of children he had was like above and beyond what the normal. And they're all going in his derech. He gets tremendous nachas from them. The mamas all going in his derech. They're all evil. One more evil than the next. And then power. Haman had a power that he could kill whoever he wants. That's absolute power. So he had absolute children, absolute power, absolute wealth. Like he had, the ultimate.
Was he richer? Did he have more money than Ahasuerus?
I don't know how much Ahasuerus had. He actually seemed to have had a lot. He had 1,080 treasure houses. But he had a lot. I mean, he was able to offer him 10,000 silver talents. So he was wealthy. But the Chazal said that before the Ahasuerus gave him, he made Haman wealthy. So it seems that Ahasuerus was wealthier than Haman because Haman's wealth came from Ahasuerus.
Wouldn't that make sense, though?
What happened to him once he got the money from Ahasuerus?
Hey, wouldn't that be right to say that he's not richer because he got the money from Ahasuerus?
It would sound like that, but that's at the time. Man. A lot could happen in a few years. He could have made a good investment in the stock market. I don't know. At one time,
richer than the king that owns 127 provinces.
Right. Who would give more money?
Did we learn earlier?
Well, he bought Microsoft when it was 29 cents a share.
King Kong.
Don't you wish you had a time machine? You know.
Yeah. I would have bought Yahoo.
I would have bought Manhattan.
I would have made Yahoo.
From the Indians. $23 beads. I would have bought Manhattan. I bought Manhattan.
You had $23 back then?
I'll take it with me in the time machine.
It would have to be in beads, though.
Come on,
I'll take a beer. The Rekiah has a couple of Ramazim in the Pasuk. The Alshik. See, Alshik says that all three things that Haman had were reversed. It was like it's Othello. It was just he had wealth, he had children, and he had greatness. So his greatness, the king had him executed as a common criminal. He was executed. He was put to death on the spot without a trial. Without a long day. He was shot like a rabid dog. So there goes his ability to kill people. What happened to his ability to kill people? He lost it because he got dead. And dead people can't kill people. So he lost his power to kill people because he's dead. And on the gallows, they hung up his kids. And they hung up his possessions. You ever pay attention to that line in Maestur?
No.
Raiv Banav V'Kinyanav. They hung up his children and his Kinyanav. We once asked my Rabbi Isaac Uzban, he said, for Shlema, what does it mean they hung up his Kinyanav? He hung up his sofa on the gallows. His lazy boy. The mixmaster. And he answered because Haman, the decree that Haman issued against the Jews, included Ushlalam Lavais, that you should plunder. They should plunder the treasures of the Jews, not just to target the Jews themselves, but to plunder their treasures. And that's a tremendous chilul Hashem that the Jews are, you know, like hefker like that, unprotected and, you know, just, you know, like prey. And Kadosh Baruch Hu reversed it, so it's a kiddush Hashem Shemayim to show that mamish, you know, midah keneged midah. He tried to make the, you know, take away the aura of respect of the Jewish possessions. You know, there's a certain respect you have. This is owned by a Jew, and this is special. This is a Jewish thing. So in place of that, they took his things and they were mevazit. They took his precious things and they hung it up for everyone to see. They were mevazit doing his hazel. So his banav, his kinyanav, and his gedula. The Rekeach has a couple of ramazim in this pasuk. He says the word ashray, kfayt ashray. If you do it backwards, the Haman thinks I'm a big guy, I'm a wealthy person, but the word Ashrei backwards is Virasha, and he's a Rasha.
The Ashir is a Rasha?
Ashrei backwards is Virasha. Virasha, no, it's with an I. It's perfect. Ashrei backwards is Virasha. And then another Rem is, it says Gidlei is Haman's greatness. I mean, Rekeach is showing you the flip side of things. Rish Ashraish is building Haman up, but you know, a hidden meaning is that he's a wicked person. He has no right to have any respect. And Gidlei means the Haman is on top. He's Gadol. And Gidlei, if you switch around the letters backwards, it's Viladog, and he's going to be like a fish. Now we saw this already. Haman picked Adar as the month to work his plan against Klal Yisrael, because the mazel, the astrological sign of Adar is Pisces, it's a fish. He said, oh, that means it's a sign from the stars that I'm going to trap the Jews like a fish. But the Targum, we said this Targum, that it is two, that could work both ways. That could be the month where he's going to trap the Jews like fish, or that could be the month where he's going to be trapped like a fish. So Rekeach says Haman is Gidlei. He's great. He's on top. He's the fisherman on top. He's the big great fisherman. And Viladog, but he's a fish. So Rish Ashrei, he's wealthy. No, he's a Rasha. Gidlei, he's great. No, he's a fish. Haman's a fish. Possibly a bays. Vayer Mahaman.
What's the remnants to a fish exactly?
You get trapped.
What?
He gets trapped. Fish get trapped. That's what they do. And I just cleaned out my fish tank on Friday. There was one fish that he just kept hiding under the bridge. I couldn't get him. Every time I went to one side, he went to the other side. It was like, this guy did not want to be trapped, so I took care of it.
You called him Haman?
V'yem Haman. And Haman said to his lovers and to his wife, Af lehevia Esther. Even. Af means even. Usually you say even when you're connecting two things. You don't start a sentence with even. Even doesn't exist in a vacuum, but here it seems to exist in a vacuum. Af lehevia Esther, even. Not only, but even. Yeah, it's what Af means. Not only, but even. Lehevia Esther Amalka. Esther, the queen, did not bring Imam Melech with the king. Elamishta to the feast, to the banquet, Asha Asasa, which she made, Kimosi. Only me. I am the only one that was at that banquet. Only me. Me and the king. Vagam l'machar, and also tomorrow. And Ikarula, I'm invited to her Imam Melech with the king. Gevalt. So it seems that her plan was working. She was building him up. The Yeshiv Lachak is Medayak and the Pasuk. There's like a couple of diukim, some inferences here. By the first banquet, it says Hevia. Mm-hmm. I was the only one that was brought there. I was brought there. And when he refers to the upcoming second banquet, it says, and I'm called to the second one. So he was brought to the first one, he was called to the second one. So the commentary, Yosef Lakach says, because she never invited him to the first one. She told Achashverosh that she she welcomed Haman's presence by the Mishteh, but she never invited Haman. He did not get a personal invitation. He was brought to the first Mishteh on Esther's command. But the second one is she was upping it. You know, she wanted to build him up. So she wanted to make him feel even fly even higher. So then, at the first Mishteh, she gave him a personal invitation instead of having him brought. She could have had him brought the second time as well. Someone show up at his house, you got to come. But no, the second one, she increased the attention. She increased it. She turned it up. She turned it up higher. Karla Mamola. So that's the explanation why it switches between Hevia and Karla.
So it was a command, the first one?
Yes, I mean, he wasn't invited. He was brought.
The king invited him.
Well, that's it. You know, he was just brought. The Yesh Lakav, we asked the question, why does Haman's statement start with the word af, even? I mean, you want to say that you were invited, say you were invited. What does it mean, even I'm invited? It's like an extra word. What does it mean? So the Yeshiv Lakach answers based on Haman's fears. Haman's fears, he was afraid that there was this relationship, this pre-existing relationship between Esther and Mordechai. And that could throw a monkey wrench in all his plans. That could foil everything. So that was his main fear. And if he would be sure that wouldn't mess things up, that, you know, that she wasn't going to act on that, that would be enough. So it's enough that, you know, Esther should chill that relationship with Mordechai. It should be chilled. It shouldn't be like a warm, vibrant relationship. But that Esther should be Makara of Haman also, that she should seek to be close to Haman, that was something that he never dreamed of happening. That's an added surprise. It's an added caveat. So he says, Afloy of Esther is, like, I was hoping, or praying to whichever deity he prayed to, you know, I was hoping... It was his fervent wish that the relationship between Mordechai and Haman wouldn't wreck my plans. But that she should be Makar of me, that she invited me and not Mordechai. Af means that not only is she not interfering in the workings of my plan, but she's even coming towards me. That's why it says Af. That's the Yitzhak Lekach. The Vilna Gaon on this Pasuk. So the Haman says, Im HaMelech. I'm invited, Im HaMelech. He says it twice. Im HaMelech twice. Im HaMelech means I'm on the same level as the king. Im HaMelech means I am equal to the king. That means that she considers me on the same level as the king. And she meant to convey this. When she invited him. You know, when you invite, let me ask you, when you invite someone, let's go back a little bit. When you're at a banquet with the king, who's your husband, and one of the ministers, a senior minister, etiquette would require that when your husband wants to know what's your fervent wish, what's your bakasha, say, I'd like to have another opportunity to dine with you, my dear husband, and with Haman as well. But she didn't say that. She said, you know what I want? Yavah HaMelech V'Haman. I'd like the king and Haman to come tomorrow again to another Mishnah. She equated the two. So that produced all the desired results. Achashverosh was very burning with anger, jealousy. Haman felt like he was riding high. The Jews were really worried. You know, like all the pshatim we said before. Haman and Achashverosh are the same. And the truth is, they are the same. They are the same. Like the Medrash we said at Gemara Megillah, that like two neighbors, one has a ditch and one has a pile of dirt. They are the same. Haman and Achashverosh are the same. Derkeach has a pasuk, has a remiss in this pasuk. Kedarkai. Husband says, Karula. Karula is, he's invited, he's summoned. He's summoned to the second, Karula. Karula. Yeah, Kuf, Resh, Vav, Aleph, Lamed, Hey. If you rearrange the letters Kuf, Resh, Vav, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, you get the phrase El Kore. Aleph, Lamed, Kuf, Vav, Resh, Hey, which means to the gallows. So Lamed saying, I'm invited to a banquet with the queen, me and Achashverosh. I'm invited! Karula! And Hashem is saying, yes, Haman, you are Karula. You think you're going to a banquet. You are invited. You are invited to be hanged to the gallows.
What
does it say of Karula is Lawa?
Invited. Karula.
No, but how does it
switch El Kora. Aleph Lamed Kuf Vav Resh.
What does Kora mean?
Beam.
The beam. To the beam.
To the beam. To beam.
Rabbi, could you do
to
that?
To beam. He's invited to beam.
As a general rule throughout Tanakh, are you allowed to... Can you do that with any word?
Rishayim could.
Yeah, okay.
We shouldn't do it with Messiris.
But it says Imam Melach.
It's just a funky way of doing it.
So you're saying it sounds like the king is also going to go on the beam?
The king's also going to go beam. Either that one or HaMelech. Hashem, no?
That's a good question. I don't know. I have to think about that. That's thought provoking.
Mm-hmm.
That's thought provoking.
I'll think about it too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a deep concept here. If what you're saying is true, there's a deep concept.
Maybe Achashverosh's hatred for the Jews was also hung that day on the gallows.
HaMelech would be a Kadosh Baruch
Hu.
If Karula is Elakera, if we're on the level of Remez,
so
HaMelech is a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Yeah.
Alright. Pasuk Yud Gimel. And all of this, that he has these 208 kids, plus the 10 kids, plus the one kid, plus the power, plus he's got the queen, he's got everything. It's all in and Shavali. This is the epitome of a Balgaiva. Kalzain and Shavali. All of this is worthless. It's not worth anything. Bechalais. All the times that Shirani Reyes Mordechai, which I see Mordechai Yehudi, Yeshua B'Shem Aloch sitting in the gate of the king. That takes it, that takes it all away. So the Targum answers, it wasn't just Mordechai's presence, which disturbed him. It was Mordechai sitting in the Sanhedrin with all the children, learning Torah. It was the entire package.
Was that Esther's children?
No, they were little children that Mordechai was teaching.
Oh, they said they were his children.
According to Rashi, he's referring to the Shtar Mechira on his shoe. That keeps popping up in different Mefarshim, in different times. The Shtar Mechira, the bill of sale that was written on Mordechai's shoe. Kozen and a Shavali. Mordechai Yeshua B'Shem Melech. Alright, so there's a commentary from the Yalkut Me'am Lois. Why didn't Haman say the truth? He doesn't, you don't find in Haman's remarks any mention that he's angry because Mordechai is not bowing down to him. What ticked him off? What got him angry? What got him angry was that Mordechai wasn't bowing. If Mordechai would have bowed, then all the events would have unfolded differently. Not necessarily to Klal Yisrael's advantage, but it would have been different. It was the fact that Mordechai didn't bow. I mean,
that doesn't take away from him anything. If you would say Mordechai doesn't bow to me, that's taking away from him.
That's not true. That's what's really bothering him. The pasuk says
that's
so.
That's what's bothering him, but he.
Like Kamvalei Zami Mena Veimali Haman Amordechai Chema.
He would lose somewhat of face in front of his family.
Right. So that's the. So Yaakov Amleya says you can't say that. You can't say that everything you own, everything you have, everything you've achieved in life is worthless because one Jew doesn't bow down. You can't say that.
Why not?
Because that's sort of like cutting off your nose to spite your face. Someone that goes after covet, so he tries to stay away from things that embarrass him. It's a very embarrassing thing. Now it's true that Baligaiva, they go to extraordinary limits to feed their covet, and by doing so they lose their covet. Someone that runs after covet, a covet barech mimenu. Because the biggest bezayin, I mean the Maharal says this, the biggest bezayin is to see somebody running after covet. You go over to the gabbai in Beis Knesses, and you say, what's the most kosher aliyah here? So if it's a chassidish place, they say shishi. Shishi. He says, I want you to give me shishi because you have to be mechabed me because I'm the most kosher person here. And everyone knows he says it. They all heard it. That's not a covet. So usually Bali Gaiva, they're not very aware of that. They suffer from self-delusion. And they will be caught going after covet. But there's always some kind of cover story. You know, they will go after covet, it'll be very obvious, but there's always some kind of covet. It's not me, it's covet Taira, you know. It's covet Taira, me, I don't need an aliyah, you know. Me, I'm nothing. It's covet Taira, you know, because of my position. It's not me, I got to sit on the mizrach, you know. It's covet Taira. So there's usually some cover. There's usually some cover story, but when there is no cover story, then they won't do it. They're not that ridiculous. And here, if Haman would admit that this one thing takes everything away, so then it seems like even for Haman, even for a covered fresser like Haman, that was too much to admit. So what was he complaining about? This is the Yalkut Miyam Leis. What was he complaining about? He was complaining that Mordechai, who's a Yehudi, and everyone knows that the Yehudi, the Yehudim are, they're the pits. The Yehudim are the pits. You know, they don't deserve to live. I mean, he doesn't grant them the air they breathe. That a Yehudi should rise up to high position is something that should incite, you know, every believing person, or every non-believing person. So that's what what he meant was that Mordechai doesn't bow down to him. That's what, you know, destroyed every last vestige of happiness. But he couldn't say that. So he says the fact that, you know, he's being altruistic. He said, I'm defending your honor. It's a spit in the face of every loyal Persian citizen that such a person was able to rise to such a high position. Mordechai Yeshu B'Shar Melech. So he was covering it up. That's the alchemy I'm lays. He said, V'chol zeh enu shavali. So Rekek uses a couple of Muslim, some of them are more famous than others, in the words V'chol zeh enu shavali. One is just the punctuation. The Pasha Pshat is to read it, V'chol zeh, all my wealth, enu shavali is not worth anything to me. But the Rekek puts a comma in there, or a period. So V'chol zeh enu, period. Rekeach puts a period in. V'chol zeh enenu. What does enenu mean? Haman had erected this tremendous structure. He had a binyan. He built himself a structure of belief predicated on his beliefs and his expectations of his godless, of his role in the universe, of what's going to be with, you know, Klai shows a threat to it. He's going to eradicate them. He built himself a power base. He put himself in position. He enacted the laws. And, you know, if you ask Haman at that moment, you know, where he's holding, nothing could go wrong. He succeeded. It's a foregone conclusion. Klai Yisrael is going to be history. No one's going to mention them anymore. He is going to be in the place of Klai Yisrael. Haman didn't want to just eradicate Klai Yisrael. He wanted to replace Klai Yisrael. That's obvious. We'll discuss that later. When we talk about the gallows, Haman did not seek to eradicate Klai Yisrael. He sought to replace Klai Yisrael. And this is, you know, a continuity of the machlokes between Yaakov and Esav, that they were fighting in the womb. You know, who's going to be the world? Who's going to set the pattern and the stage or the image of the world? And whose imprint? You know, who's going to put their imprint on the world? This is a grandiose plan. And you'd ask him, what's your percentage for failure? None. He's got the queen. He's got the queen. She's Mordechai. Mordechai raised the queen, and she loves Haman. He's got the queen. He can't fail. Zakhtar Rekech, that's what he thought. But Kol Zeh Einanu means all of this. Kol Zeh has all his plans, all his dastardly designs, Einanu.
There was nothing.
Einanu means it's nisht.
He didn't know that the king still had the power to
kill what?
The king?
Yeah, but why would he?
If he tries to take his wife.
If Haman
was aware of the fact that
if Haman would try and take Ahasuerus's wife, he would kill Ahasuerus first before he took her. He wouldn't do it the other way around.
Meaning he would assassinate.
Yeah, I'm saying he probably did want that. I mean, he wanted everything, so he wanted that too. But he would make sure to do it after Ahasuerus is dead. Dead people can't fight back. Another remez. You take the words zat enenu shavali. The last letter of zat is hey, the last letter of enenu is vav, the last letter of shav is hey, and the last letter of yud of li is yud. So that's hey vav hey yud, which is yud ke vav ke. Now it's backwards. Rishonim say that Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name which means Hashem's compassion. Hashem is mercy. When it's backwards, that's the opposite of compassion, it's din. Zeh Einenu Shavali. That means, Haman thinks that he's riding high.
What Elohim was doing.
Yes, I'm saying, but there's a... There's different ways that a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings din.
It was never listed in scripture, this Hei Vav.
It's there many times. It's just in Rashi Tevis.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Rashi, in this form. There's different ways that a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings out the meat of din. It takes different forms. It has different names to describe it.
But this is not din, this is...
And Haman?
But Yud Kei Vav Kei is not din.
It says if it's backwards.
Oh, if it's backwards, it's din?
Yes. Because if it's forward, it's Rachmanis.
Oh, that makes sense.
I mean, just as a word of an explanation, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu strikes someone down, just because the person deserves to be struck down, so that would be Elohim. But here, Hashem is not just striking Haman down because he deserves to be struck down. Kadosh Baruch Hu was doing it out of compassion for Klal Yisrael. So it's the din and Haman is coming from the Rachmanis and Klal Yisrael. And there's a shita between din and Rachman. The word shavali b'chaleis. Shavali means worthless to me, b'chaleis, all times. Shavali b'chaleis, shin vavhei, lamed yud. Beis Chav Lamed, Ayin Tav, Shavali B'chaleis, you take the last letters. Shava is Hey, Li is Yud, B'chal is Lamed, and Ace is Saf. Hey, Yud, Lamed, Saf. If you take those letters backwards, you get the word Tliya, which means, Tliya means hanging. He's going to get hung. Almost every single pasuk the Rekiach finds a remez to beams, gallows, being hung. It's Maridik. It's here. Tliya. He's gonna get hung. That's a good dollar. But time of Zeresh Ishtai. Zeresh Ishtai. Remember that we said in the Mefarshim before, he particularly wanted to ask Zeresh because she'd come up with a successful plan. She's capable of unparalleled cruelty, even more cruel than Haman. She's a Balat Eita. She's the address. She's the one. But Tamlai Zeresh Ishtai. So she responded. She responded. V'chal Oyavav, and then all of his beloved ones along with her. But she was the one that delivered the main response. Yasu Eitz Gavaya Chamisha Mama. Let it be fashioned. Eitz, a tree. 50 amas high. Very high. You don't need such a high tree to hang someone. You don't. Babaiker, and early in the morning, Amol HaMelech, speak to the king. V'yitlus Mordechai Olav, and they'll hang Mordechai on it. U'bayim HaMelech, and then come with the king, El Amishta, to the banquet. Sameach, you'll be happy. So kill Mordechai before the banquet. You wanna go to the banquet happy? Kill Mordechai for breakfast. And then go to the banquet. This thing was good in front of Haman, and he made it.
Well, what's he making?
He's going to make a tree. A gallows. 50 yamas high. There's a lot of chazal on this. I mean, this is like the Targum. Whoa. It goes. The Targum just goes. It goes. Wow.
Is there a reason for 50?
Oh yeah. I'm not sure which way to go with this. I don't know if I'll have time for everything. Should we do the Targum first or then the Mefarshim? I mean, it just goes. But where is it? It goes till...
No. You might be sick.
Like, what was the great Chachma in making this Galus?
Finding something 50 hours
ago. Yeah. The great Chachma, Yaparo did the same thing that Zeresh did. Yaparo said he's going to drown the Jewish babies. Why? Because if he does anything else, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill him. But since Hashem made a promise, he's never going to bring a flood to the world. So if he drowns the Jewish babies, so Hashem is not going to flood him in return, because Hashem made a promise. So Zeresh, you know, wanted to be like Paro. Paro also made a mistake.
She didn't realize the mistake of Paro? With all her
yeah, she didn't. Well, she tried something else. She had a better plan. You always come along with a better plan.
Sure.
You ever gamblers? They go to a casino. I've got a system.
Right, I got a.
You know, somebody else lost $50,000 in debt. He didn't stick to the system. I've got the system. I know, like she eliminated one by one all the different ways of killing.
And how did hanging work?
Well, let's go through them a little bit. She said that, you know, that's what we have to find. Who's this Mordechai? Who is Mordechai? She said, if he's one of the tzaddikim, that the world was created for him. She said, we have to know who we're dealing with. He was one of the tzaddikim that the world was created for. So we can't kill him with a sword. The sword, you know, it's a double-edged sword, you know, swords are too dangerous because it's very easy to, you try and kill someone with a sword, it turns right back on you. Double-edged sword, you're going to get killed. Can't stone him. Because we know about stoning, we have bad experience with stoning. David stoned Goliath, you know, the Plishti, Goliath. David took a stone, shot it, hit him in the head. David said, stones are not good. I don't know, he just, bizarred in the chasha. Throw him into the sea. Been there, done that, the Bnei Yisrael. They came out, but twice, with the bait, you know. Bnei Yisrael came out. Throw him into the fire. That doesn't work.
Avram,
Kanani, Mishaf, Isaiah. That doesn't put him in that lion's den. Nope.
Daniel.
What are you going to do with him? Feed him to the dogs. When they went out of Mitzrayim, the dogs were silent. Throw him in the desert. That doesn't work either. What are you going to kill him? Put him in a prison. If you can't kill them, at least lock them up. Yosef came out of the prison. Put a knife on their necks. Yitzchak survived that. You thought of Moshe. He said, Yitzchak survived that one.
What did Yitzchak survive by?
The knife on the neck. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let Avram kill him.
But he was never going to be killed by Yitzchak.
Yeah.
Whose neck turned to mom?
You don't know about that. It's not true.
Moshe,
you don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know that. Yitzchak was in danger. He was saved. Let's blind him, and then let's blind Mordechai. He won't be able to do anything. They worked by Shimshon, right?
Jews are good, man.
There's more.
She doesn't realize that no matter what you can do, there's going to be something there.
So she says, you know, what should we do? So let's make a kalos. Let all the Jews, you know, see him hanging there on the gallows.
She's like, let's not try to be crazy, let's just do the simplest thing possible. It's a crazy logic.
Why? Nobody ever...
Not simply. It means, Minashamayim, they wanted to do it in a way that Minashamayim, Hashem wouldn't stop it. Hashem allows Rishayim free choice. Russia, Hashem does allow Russia to kill someone. Mitzareinu, it happens. It happens too often. Hashem gives a Russia free choice. But there's certain mises, there's certain methods which Hashem doesn't give a Russia those things. Hashem says to the Russia, you have a Bechira, I'm not going to take away with you, but you have a limited arsenal. You know, you have a limited arsenal.
This is the first time.
You can't use anything that was ever used before.
I mean, this is the first time in scripture Jews have been tried to be hung before.
That's what it says here.
That's like a new thing.
It's not new anymore. There's more. There's so much more in the Targum. But
the thing is, this is like a new style of killing.
It's the first time.
To Jews or in history?
I don't know in history. I really don't know about history.
This is where the source of
I don't know about history, but I don't know about in history. I really don't have the historical background. It really doesn't make a difference to me. But the Medrash says that it's the first time it was used against someone of Mordechai's stature. I'll be Medayik, Mamish, you know. Someone that the world was created for him. It was never, ever, you know, used against him.
Interesting. We got it from him.
Yasu H. Gavaya Hamisha Mama. Why 50 Amas high? The Vilna Gaon says because they wanted to publicize it. Mordechai's body would be able to be seen by the entire city. And that's part of it. Haman doesn't want to just rid the world of Mordechai. He doesn't want to just kill Mordechai. He wants to disgrace him. He wants to bring down the covet of the greatest member of Klal Yisrael, and the way to do that is they should be in the highest place. He wanted to take away all covet from Klal Yisrael. He didn't want to just remove Klal Yisrael's life. He wanted to remove their covet. He wanted to destroy their honor and respect. And also, there's another advantage that Haman could have the satisfaction of seeing it. It would be the average gallows. Haman would be in the palace of the king when the sentence was carried out. He might not necessarily have the satisfaction of seeing it. This way Haman would be able to see it. Now, of course, as in anything that Haman did, anything he did worked against him. All the laws that he enacted, they all worked against him. And this is not an exception. Because since the gallows was so high, that's why Achashverosh was able to see it. Harvayna, when he told Achashverosh, you know, when Esther revealed to Achashverosh Haman's plot, so Achashverosh didn't have to face it. Well, you say he wants to do it. He didn't have to face it. But Kavaita said, no, you could see it. Achashverosh was able to see it. That's confirmation. That's confirmation, and therefore he had Haman killed on the spot. If he wouldn't have seen it, and time was the enemy of the Jewish people. If Achashverosh would have had the time, he wouldn't have seen the gallows right away, then he wouldn't have been in his full measure of anger, and it never would have happened. So Haman, he brought about his own downfall. Yasu waits. You should make a tree.
Watch me play.
Gavaya Chamish Mama. 50 Amas high. There's a lot on this thing, you know, 50 Amas high. Yasu waits, Gavaya Chamish Mama. Where did Haman get a tree that big?
Can you take it from, like, the...
From garden.
Haman had a son. One of his sons was a governor. We mentioned before his sons were governors. One of his sons was a governor over the area called Ararat. The mountain of Ararat is where the Teva rested. The Teva, was 50 Amos wide. It was 300 Amos long, 50 Amos wide, 30 Amos high.
It was one beam.
So there was one beam, which was 50 Amos wide. And Haman's son had access to it because he was the governor. So you sent for it?
All overnight?
Federal Express.
Oh, okay.
And you have 8 kavaya kamisha mama. The name of his son that was the governor was the famous Parshandasa. Now there's a lot which we'll have to explain in Mitzvashem on another occasion, maybe tomorrow. And why Parshandasa was the governor of Ararat. And why Haman was committed to having such a being 50 yamas high. And why Dafka from Tevis Neach was did it just happen like that? That since there were no other beams in the world that are 50 yamas high. So Parshandasa says, oh, I know where we can get one of those beams. I have one right in my backyard. Is that the way it worked? Or was it by design? We're going to have to discuss that on another occasion. Okay, so much time tomorrow.